Thank you, Sarah, for reading out Psalm 91. And thank you so much, Peter and Mindy, for sharing those words of encouragement and reminding us how fitting and how worth it is to trust in God from your own experiences. I think we've been richly enriched as we listen to your stories, and we really appreciate you sharing these things. It's today and next week, we are focusing on these reflections. And this is sort of a outro, I guess, for the book of Habakkuk. We had been looking at Habakkuk for a few months. I think months, yes. And we closed off, if you remember, on Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. And I thought I'll just read that one more time because it fits perfectly as you transition to this few reflections that we have planned for this week and next week. So Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 16 to 19 says like this: I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. These are the closing words of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk encourages us to keep trusting in God. And not just that, Habakkuk encourages us to rejoice in God, to praise Him, regardless of what we go through. And so this week, if you may notice, we looked at trusting in God, and next week we'll be looking at praise and thanksgiving to God. But for today's reflection, I thought I would look at Psalm 91 very briefly. And as we have heard the sharings from Peter and Mindy, I do think that these are ways in which we are witnessing to one another. We are testifying to one another what God has done in our lives. And through this, we are encouraging one another as well. And so let us allow Psalm 91 as well to encourage us as we consider just for a brief moment. So Psalm 91 has been read out to us, and you may be aware of this psalm because it's a very popular psalm. From what I heard, this psalm, Habakkuk, for example, when you looked at Habakkuk, there's a rich context, historical context that Habakkuk is written in. For Psalm 91, it's very hard to pinpoint what exactly the context was. And so it's very hard to build a historical context or the historical connection. In other words, what that means is that it's very, not in a bad way, but it's very generic. It's very timeless, right? Scholars say that the writing resembles Moses in some parts, but also it resembles David. It resembles some of the psalmists. So it's very hard to say who exactly wrote it, even though Psalm 90, if you're interested, is supposed to be a psalm by Moses. So people say that it's probably written by Moses. But what I'm trying to say is that this psalm is very accessible because it's very timeless. In fact, Charles Spurgeon was supposed to have said, in the whole collection, there is not a more cheering psalm. Its tone is elevated and sustained throughout. Faith is at its best and speaks nobly. So I think that's a fitting comment about the psalm. In fact, the first line of the psalm itself is so profound. It says, he who dwells in the shelter or the shadow or the secret place of the Most High. Such a profound word. It speaks of us, people who trust in him, dwelling in that space of safety and security. God's goodness has also been called the habitation of human beings. Like, that's a place where we inhabit, where we put down our tents, so to say, and live. Not a place we visit on Sundays, right? Once in a while, but it's a place where we inhabit, we dwell, and we found our homes and build our homes on, so to say. Other metaphors, of course, the under his wings, we find safety and we find protection. Not surprisingly, Psalm 91 became extremely popular during COVID-19 in my part of the world. And that makes sense because there's pestilence mentioned in the psalm. And people were really clinging on to this psalm for hope and for a sense of security. In fact, I from my preparation, I found out that this Psalm 91 would often be worn in amulets that you tie around your hands back in the days, as almost as a superstition, if we could say, that this psalm, holding this in your amulet, in your arm, would protect you, and so on and so forth. That is not, I think, to minimize the use of these texts in times of desperation, when people are desperate, when people are needing something to cling on, to hold on to. People turn to Psalm 91. And yet we also know that feeling safe, feeling secure is one thing, but to be truly safe, to know that you are truly safe, is altogether another thing. We could live with the illusion that we are safe. And yes, we all need to feel safe, but to know that we are safe, I think that's a better option, I feel, to actually know that you are safe, to have that assurance. Because ultimately, I think if we are not truly safe, there's no point in feeling safe, right? In fact, it could be even more dangerous. So we're not really looking for the illusion of safety, just quoting these verses and to feel good about it. But we want to really dig into this text and see how the psalmist says that we are truly safe. And I think sometimes when we go through troubles, we crave for that illusion of safety, that absence of trouble. We long for the time when things are back to stillness and tranquility, of peace and quiet. There's no alarm bells ringing all over you, all around you and in your head. And yet, very often in the Old Testament, the prophets would often roar against such false tranquility, pointing out that although things look so rosy and pleasant at the moment, the prophets would point out that if you look deeper, there's turmoil within you. I think you might remember that from Amos, the reflection on Amos a few months back. There's turmoil within you. In fact, false prophets would say, Elijah is a trouble of Israel. This guy comes and mess up everything. Let's enjoy that peace, that tranquility that we have in our kingdom. And Elijah as a prophet, Amos as a prophet would say, no, that is false tranquility. On the other hand, I think the opposite may also be true, that things may look completely out of control, right? Things may be in such a mess. And yet, in the absence of any sense of meaning, in the absence of any sense of order, we as God's people need to see that God is on his throne. God is reigning and God is in control, as both Peter and Mindy has testified to us from the experience. And as we saw from Habakkuk as well, that when things don't make sense, we need to be reminded that God is in control. So I think the important question is not, how do circumstances look around us? How do things look around us? I think the important question is, are we dwelling in the shelter of God's faithfulness? Are we dwelling in that space of security that Psalm 91 speaks so profoundly of? Are we trusting and are we putting our faith in God? Because Psalm 91 verse 1 says, those who dwell in that protection of God, those who trust in God, those who have their faith. We may go through diseases and pestilence and death and disasters, but in the midst of all of that, we are fine, so to say, because we have God whom we can trust. I think the key is those who dwell. It's an intentional choice by God's people to trust in God. It's not something that we slide into naturally, so to say, but it's something that we have to intentionally choose to trust in God. So how do we really dwell in God's protection? How do we really experience God's faithfulness in our life? I think the key word is the covenant with God. It's in order to, in experiencing God's faithfulness to us, we also display our faith by being faithful to God. There's sort of a relationship that happens there. And God invites us into this relationship in which we trust in God and experience God's faithfulness. And we also demonstrate that by being faithful to God. There's this Greek word pistis that we hammered like anything in seminary. Apparently, it has a notion of putting our faith in God, but it also has a notion of being faithful to God. So there's a two-way relationship in that faith that we talk so much about. So putting our faith in God is demonstrated, so to say, in our faithfulness to God. We cannot really have one without the other, so to say. If we keep God's commandments, if we worship only God, if we listen to His word, if we are faithful to God, then we can experience God's faithfulness to us. So in our case, in post-Jesus Christ, post-resurrection, God has revealed to us that Jesus is the fullness of God. And this new covenant, new relationship that we have is in Jesus Christ. And we have a new identity in Christ. Now we dwell in the shadow of God's protection through Jesus Christ, through our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in what God has done for us and our faith in what God continues to do in us in Christ. So our status of whether we are dwelling in God or not is, if I may put it this way, is demonstrated in our life, in the way we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with our soul, our strength, and we love one another. We demonstrate our faith through our faithfulness to God and faithfulness to one another in this life. Because if you don't have this very important caveat, it's very easy to make Psalm 91 and such similar psalms into magical claims, right? Into claims of superstition that you take around and, you know, paste it or stick it on your as a tattoo or whatever it is your deal is. But we need to be reminded afresh. In fact, I was hit afresh that it was exactly from Psalm 91 that the devil tempted Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, 5-7. The devil tempted Jesus, took him up to a high place and said, throw yourself down from the mountain. And like Psalm 91 says, God will send his angels and your feet will not even strike the ground. See, God's blessing, God's protection, God's faithfulness, God's shelter is not something that we can pull around anywhere we want to serve my own agenda, right? In fact, when we start acting on our own will, and when we start acting on our own selfish reasons, we have stopped dwelling in that space. We have stopped dwelling in trust, in faith in God. And we are acting in our own agenda. But just to remind us that we demonstrate our faithfulness to God by being self-giving, by seeking what God desires, which is love, righteousness, holiness, justice, peace, healing, all these wonderful things that God has set as our goal as well in following Christ. So with that bit of a warning, let us take Psalm 91 as an encouragement to trust in God. When we read Psalm 91, we realize that this is a beautiful and intentionally poetic, profound piece of poetry that is designed, I think, to inspire us and to motivate us to continue to trust in God. And how do we do this? Firstly, I think we need to do this to one another. We have a responsibility to encourage one another to keep trusting in God. And this has to be intentional, to support one another, so to say. And I think one of the ways is by telling our stories, like telling what God has done for us and encouraging one another in that way. Secondly, we don't just need to do to one another. We need to do this to ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves. Sometimes, as the psalmists often do, right? Oh, my soul, why are you downcast within me? He tells that to himself, reminds himself that trust in God and it's going to be okay. God is worth trusting. So secondly, we need to do this to ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves and just dwell on this by ourselves. And thirdly, even when all these may fail, when you are not able to encourage yourself, when others are not able to encourage yourself, we have the scripture. We have the Word of God to do this to us, just as we are allowing Psalm 91 to do it to us, to push us, to encourage us to trust in God. Read God's Word. Remember what He has done. Be challenged to trust in God, just as again, we go back to Habakkuk, just as he remembered what God did in and what has been recorded in the scripture. So we do this to one another, we do this to ourselves, and we allow scripture, the word of God, to do it to us. Remind us that, yes, there are situations that are beyond our control, right? The psalm that we just read, just notice the landscape that was described in Psalm 91. There's like pestilence, there's like warfare, there's arrows flying all over the place. It's like it's dangerous terrain, like full of trouble, full of threats. And yet, in the midst of all that, there's refuge, there's shelter and safe space in the presence of God, shelter in the time of storm. So the shelter, the shadow of the Most High, the secret place, the wings of the Most High is available to us. Whether we dwell there or not, that's really on us. But Psalm 91 tells us that those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, they will experience God's goodness and God's faithfulness. So with that, let us continue to respond through singing. Can I ask Sarah and Injuna to continue to lead us in the time of singing?